Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
What a week, what a week. This is what I want to say. Last week, you know, Monday was Memorial Day. It was a wonderful time. We had a great time. Wednesday, normal, you know, office day at the church and signing checks and all that good stuff and business of that. And school was still going on. Thursday, I did not expect what was going to happen Thursday. I went to a viewing of the body of my Uncle Royce on Wednesday night before a prayer meeting, and then went to his funeral on Thursday morning. And at the graveside, as soon as it was done, I got a message, an emergency message, that Debbie's brother Scott Fountain, had a stroke. He was at the hospital, so we went up there. Didn't get home till well after dark, and just got in bed and got the phone call that Norris went home to be with the Lord in heaven. Great brother. Going to be greatly missed. But he's with the Lord. With all of that, one half of the air conditioning units were put in this week. Thank God for men in the church, hardworking men. Russ went on home to, well, not home. Russ went down to North Carolina. I'm not a prophet. Russ went to North Carolina and got the new pews. And it just kept going. More things kept happening. There was a wedding we went to on Friday down in Midland. Went to see Scott in Traverse City. Anyway, here's what's got to happen today. Tonight, after the evening service, bring a screw gun. These pews are out of here. They're in the parking lot. If you want one, take one. If you want 20, take 20, all right? But they're out of here. We're going to bring those new pews into the auditorium this evening, Lord willing. Going to need help. I'm telling you, I need help for this week. The funeral is here at Fundamental Baptist Church. So we have till Thursday to get the pews in. There's a lot of other things going on. I'm just going to kind of set this all aside. A lot of other things going on. And so it's going to be a busy, busy week. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's exciting to be part of Fundamental Baptist Church. Things never end. They never stop. Things never stop going on. And through it all, you just keep your eyes on the Lord. People are still getting saved. People are still getting right with God. Some are coming home that have fallen away from God. We see that all the time here. It's a wonderful thing to be in the service of the King, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he left us some promises concerning his coming again. I want to preach in the rapture. Two Sunday mornings from now, I'll preach on the marriage feast. I was thinking this last week when I was looking at Mom and Dad, and you've heard this analogy before. There's a gospel song or two that kind of lines up with this metaphor. And I remember as a boy on Shunk Road, we run out of daylight, and there was never enough daylight to play all the games we needed to play, whether it was in the pasture, in the woods, or in the barn. Never was enough. And Mom would open the back door and yell, "Chip, Bud, Rod, come on in. Get ready for supper." And I'd heard that again and again. Christy was not with us yet at that point. She wasn't even a thought. Kurt, same deal. But the three of us would come in, and she'd always tell us to clean up for supper. There's going to be a great gathering in the clouds above. And, you know, maybe you ought to hear the message from God this morning. It's almost supper time. Time to come in and get clean. I believe we're closer to the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, than we have ever been. The last breath that I breathed was a breath that is closer to the sound of the trumpet than I have ever breathed before. We are there. Matthew chapter 24, if you would turn there, I'd like to read just three verses out of this chapter, not take it out of context. You need to understand this. There are two phases to our Lord's return. There's the raptus, the rapture of the church. The word rapture is not found in the Word of God, but the snatching away, the gathering of the bride of Christ, that is found. Rapture is a Latin word. It means to seize, to harshly take away. That's the rapture of the church. Then we have our 7 years of tribulation on this earth. We won't be here. And then Armageddon. That is the second coming. That's when Jesus sets foot upon this earth. Mount Olivet. The Battle of Armageddon takes place. Then after that, separation of the goats and sheep nations and the millennial kingdom. Know this, that Matthew in chapter 24 is speaking to the Jews. We read it, We have understanding. We're part of the bride of Christ. There are no signs for the rapture of the church. No signs. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous nation looks for a sign. The church, the rapture of the church is imminent. Paul was looking for it in his day. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's where we meet the Lord Jesus in the air. Nothing had to happen before the rapture of the church. This is interesting. Just some sidelines that make it kind of interesting. Jesus said in this very same chapter of chapter 24, of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels in heaven, but the Father. He's the only one that knows. I'll skip ahead in this message. One day, very soon, maybe today, perhaps today, God the Father will look to God the Son, seated at his right hand. God the Father will look to God the Son and say, Son, it's time. Go get your church. Go get your bride. And that's when Jesus appears in the clouds. Let me read. I'm way ahead of myself in the message, and I'm thinking clear. Look at verse 1 of chapter 24. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, Say ye not all these things? See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They were very proud of the temple. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And all that is mentioned here in Matthew in chapter 24 is for the Jewish nation. It's for the Jews. You read it in that context, it makes perfect sense. He tells them before I come again, Armageddon, before I come again, there's going to be a setting up of things for the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going to preach the gospel to every tribe, kindred, and tongue, and nation on this earth. Things are going to get set up. There's going to be famines. There'll be pestilences. Think about the tribulation. Earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 12, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm reading through this very, very quickly. Verse 15, halfway through the tribulation. When ye therefore shall see that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then you'll know. Halfway through the tribulation, the Antichrist sets himself up as God. And he sits upon the throne of David. And he says, I'm king of the world. I'm king of the earth. And then he turns great persecution upon the Jewish nation. And Israel retreats to the wilderness, those that have gathered together. Any saved Jews, by the way, are part of the church of Jesus Christ. That includes the Apostle Paul. That includes the Apostle Peter. Part of the church of, they're Messianic Jews. They know who they are. They're part of the bride of Christ. Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of tribulation, is not to bring them back to God. They already belong to God. It's to bring back secular Israel back to God. Talks about running to the wilderness and running to the mountains and trying to find places to hide. Verse 21, for then there shall be great tribulation. Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That is not the rapture. That is Armageddon. That's when Jesus appears on his white horse, and we, the army of God, is behind him. And that's when Armageddon takes place, and a great feast for the birds of prey, because the dead will be so great during that time. Following verses, verse 30, don't have time to read it. Verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. I'm going to come to this in just a moment. This year, this summer, is Israel's 69th anniversary in returning to the land. He says in this passage that this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. We are right at the end. I'd like to pray again and then read 1 Thessalonians. Father, would you bless the remainder of this message and use it, make it pointed. God, I'm not up here to just try to be bombastic or try to be a doomsday prophet. In love, this message may be received by the people that are seated here today in this auditorium from front to back and side to side. Perhaps some in their automobiles or in their homes and listening to the radio broadcast. May they understand Jesus is coming very soon. I pray this in Christ's name. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. I'm convinced Jesus is coming soon. Things have changed in the last couple of years. The North Korean dictator, a madman, Kim Jong-un, I believe, I was just listening to Jimmy DeYoung 2 weeks ago. Man, he waxed eloquent on this, and he knows so much more about prophecy than I do. Good fundamentalist preacher. The Bible talks about the kings of the East. The scripture talks about Gog and Magog. That would be Russia. Just a few years ago, Russia was a non-entity in our minds. Now, all of a sudden, again, they're front and center. The armies of the East, front and center. All it's going to take is for that madman to push a button. That's all it's going to take. And things take off. And I'll tell you what, I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I know that Jesus is coming soon. And when that tribulation takes place, we are delivered from the wrath to come. That's what the scripture says. We as the Church of Philadelphia, we as true believers, we're not appointed under wrath. We're delivered from the wrath to come. That's Bible. The tribulation isn't to get the church right with God. The church is under the blood. It's that God has made some promises to Israel. It's to get Israel right with God. The church, by the way, is not Israel. And Israel is not the church. God has made promises to the church, and he's made promises to Israel. Here's what's going to happen. The next event on the prophetical calendar, on the timetable, is the sound of the trumpet when we are caught home. That's what I'm going to read about. I'm going to read about it right now. And I'm telling you, Paul was looking for it in his day. That's why we say, and I've already said this, we believe in the imminent return. He could come at any time. No signs. That's when God the Father says, he's waiting for that last soul to get saved. And he knows who it is. He's waiting for that last sinner to come to Christ. And he's going to tell his son, go get your bride. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 13, we read of the return, the resurrection, the rapture, and a great reunion. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Talking about those that have died. They're in Thessalonica, believers. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Jesus does make all the difference. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He didn't forget the dead. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, old English word, or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are our brethren that have died to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, they're with the Lord right now, but their bodies are going to be resurrected at the rapture. God has not forgot their tabernacle, where they lived while they were here on this earth. Here Paul says of the church of Thessalonica, and they were all concerned about some of their brethren. They were dying little by little, one by one, and they were Christians. What about that? What about? And Paul gives them good Bible doctrine underneath the teaching of the Holy Spirit by way of inspiration. The dead, even their bodies, have not been forgotten. Those bodies, although the dead are already with Christ, those bodies will be the first to be resurrected in the twinkling of an eye. 11/100th of a second is what General Electric says. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent or precede them which are dead. So in other words, they're going to go just that much quicker than us, but we are going to be raptured all at the same time. Verse 16 again says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptus, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Major doctrine in the Word of God. The rapture of the church. Our covenant theologian brothers don't like to hear about it. The backslidden, they don't want to hear about it. The liberals and the apostates, they deny it. But whether man believes it or not, God's word says Jesus is coming again. We read this morning in John 14 in our scripture reading, Jesus said, I will return. I will come again. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. One in every 25 verses in the New Testament says that Jesus is coming again. 23 of the 27 New Testament books tell us of the second coming of Christ. It was the first message after the ascension and the last message of the Word of God. It's next in the prophetical calendar. I'm not going to read it. I don't have time. But turn to Revelation. I'd like you to turn to, because you might glance down and see something or check something out, double check something. All right. Revelation chapters 1 through 3 is all about the church. The church is mentioned 16 times The last church mentioned is the Laodicean church, the age in which we live, where the love of many has waxed cold. In chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, in verse 1, we have a picture of the rapture. The Apostle John, who God used to write from the island of Patmos, the book of Revelation, is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. He was a Jew that was born again and a leader in that first century church. Verse 1 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now the Apostle Paul was being shown by, John was being shown by God what was going to happen prophetically. But what a picture of the rapture of the church. I heard a trumpet, said, "Come up hither, rapture of the church." Now, that alone is pretty weak, but here's the deal. 16 times in chapters 1 through 3, we find the word ecclesia, church. This is the church age. From chapter 4, he says, "Come up hither." After that, Israel, by the way, is never mentioned in those first three chapters. Then we go from chapter 4 right on through Armageddon, and the church is never mentioned. Never! Except for in the heavenlies. And Israel and Old Testament pictures are used again and again and again. I tell you again, we have been delivered from the wrath to come. All you read and know in the Bible about the tribulation, it's not for the church. It's for the church in this sense. Wake up. We're running out of time. It's almost supper time. Come on into the house and get cleaned up. Jesus is coming very soon. I don't want to spend the time here in Revelation. I was going to go to chapter 4 and 5, look at the heavenlies and great times of worship. Well, it's going to be great days. Go to Ezekiel in chapter 37. Ezekiel in chapter 37. I'm trying to kind of preach several messages here together, but too much material, but I got a lot to preach. But I'm going to try to stay right on time. Ezekiel chapter 37. We could read all the way down to verse 14, and I can't. I don't have enough time. Ezekiel's prophesying. God is telling him what to say. It's the valley of dry bones. God is working through Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is getting this message from God. He says, "What are these dry bones? Who are these dry bones?" I'll paraphrase. And God says, "It's Israel. It's my children." And he said, "Ezekiel, you prophesy unto these bones." And Ezekiel did. Verse 4, I'll read verse 4. "Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." And it goes on, it's very picturesque. What a prophecy. Israel is returning to the land even today. Israel became a nation in 1948, and what a lot of young people don't realize is they were a people without a country. They were a people without a nation for hundreds and hundreds of years. Bible mockers and Bible deniers would mock Bible preachers when they'd preach on this. 1948, miraculously, Israel comes back to the land, and it's still returning to the land. It's got some muscle now and some skin, but the breath of life isn't in it yet. That will happen with 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And I say all of that, and I know I'm not reading enough scripture. I've got four things I want to cover here. There is a pull going on by the Holy Spirit of God, even for unsaved Jews, to return to the land. Now, I found out several years back, that we have a Jewish heritage in my family. I've always loved Israel. I've got a strong desire, but my calling is here. I know that. But there's something inside that says, man, Israel. I love America. I'm a patriot. And there are many that are moved, that are going back to the land. I'm telling you, and by the way, that last generation, let's go back to Matthew in chapter 24 again. Matthew in chapter 24. Why would there be a pull for everybody to go back to a war-torn country about the size of New Jersey to return to the land of Israel? That makes no sense. Why are families endangering their children and all of their households, selling everything they got and moving back to the land? Because we're in the last days. By the way, the rapture, you've heard the phraseology, the day of the Lord? That begins with the rapture. In other words, a loose paraphrase. Day of the Lord found many times in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Day of the Lord, that's when God takes over. God the Father looks to God the Son. Go get your bride. We're starting things rolling right now. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Wasn't talking about the generation in Jesus' day. He was talking about that with the parable of the fig tree, that final generation. 1948 and 70 would be 2018. Many of the Jews... And I don't put everything into the blood moon and, you know, the different feasts, festivals and so forth. Here's why. That was for the Jews. And we don't know that the calendar is completely accurate. Could the Jewish calendar be off by 10 years? Yeah, it could be. But it could be off by a year. It could be off by a week. It could be, it's going to happen earlier than that. I know this. Jesus is coming soon. And it would not surprise me if he comes this September. No man knows the day or the hour. Jesus made sure of that. He told us that. He said, only my Father knows. That's why it's an imminent return. But chapter 24, but when you see these things happening, that's tribulation time. You're in it. Sign to the Jews. Israel returning to the land. The last generation. Go to Revelation 3 again. Revelation 3. I've only got two more things. I can start closing this up real quick, so don't wander. Revelation chapter 3. I'm not saying I will close it up real quick. I say I can. It's always possible. Revelation 3. And this is the Laodicean church. Under the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods. Hey, you know what I found out in traveling the state and trying to meet with brother pastors and getting them on board with this statewide revival? You know the ones that are unconcerned? This shocked me. The guys to the left. The guys to the right, some, there are people in the state more militant than us. I want you to know that. I think sometimes in an imbalanced way, but that's between them and God. You know, they're on board. It's the guys on the left say, oh, yeah, Jesus is coming. That's amazing to me. That's not what I thought it was going to be like. But that is what I found. The terminal, the last generation, that Laodicean church, that church that is poor and thinks it's rich. Read on there. That church that is sick and thinks it's healthy. Measured by the things of the world instead of the things of God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 that we live in perilous days, dangerous days. And then what he goes on to describe as the last days, it's America in the year 2017. Full throttle. It's where we are. We weren't there 10 years ago. We're there now. It's a great battle. That's why so many of you are going through such tough times. We're praying for revival. That puts you on the front line. The devil will go after those that he thinks he can trip up and even those that he's afraid are going to influence a lot of people. That's why the struggle. It's been a tough spring for a lot of people. That's why I preached what I preached 2 weeks ago. I don't know what I preached last week, but that's what I preached 2 weeks ago. Because it's been tough. There is a spiritual battle going on. Don't get spooky about that. Get close to God. That's all you got to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, would you turn there? 2 Peter chapter 3, in closing. And verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. That's where we're at. Saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now I've heard this all before. Jesus is coming. Blah, blah, blah. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Things will just keep marching on. You see, if the devil can get you to believe that lie, you won't be prepared for the rapture. For this they say, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Okay, you could probably close your Bible, and I want you to get this real clear here at the end. God created this world and all that in it is in 6 days. According to Bible history, this earth is about 6,000 years old. And true science bears that out, by the way. 6 days he created. On the 7th day he rested, Sabbath rest. We have 4,000 years of Old Testament history on record in the Word of God. That's 4,000. Day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. 2,000 years of New Testament church history. 2,000. 4,000 plus 2,000, 6,000. 4 plus 2, day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. 6. That only leaves the 7th day. That's the millennial kingdom. That's the day of rest. We are right at the end of the church age. This month, this year, 5 years from now. I'd be shocked if it was 5 years. We don't know. No man knows the day or the hour. It's an imminent return. See, if we did, we'd play games with God. You would and I would. Jesus is coming, you know, next July. I know that. Now, this coming July, next July, I'm going to get right with God next spring. Plan on it. Getting right with God. We'd play games. We're flesh. That's what we are. Jesus left us here with a job to do. He says, no man knows the day or the hour. Jesus is coming very, very soon. I stand before you, a 60-year-old man. I just believe I'm going in the air, unless God takes me earlier. I firmly believe that. Oh, by the way, the promises of God's book are true. You realize that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead 2 days ago. From heaven's perspective. Just 2 days ago, 2,000 years. Man, your loved ones that you've seen gone on home to heaven, they just got there, man. It's not a time travel kind of thing, not a time warp. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying time in heaven, irrelevant. Irrelevant, except that the promises of God come true. The covenant that God has made with his people Israel will come true. We are privileged to live in the final days of the church. You got to become a soul winner. You got to start coming to church on Sunday night. Start hearing some Bible, real good Bible, verse by verse. Give your kids a chance. Everything else is pulling them away. Here's a mistake. Right at the end, school year's done for the year. If you think sending your kids to a Christian school makes your kids right with God, you're wrong. That just puts them in the right environment. We're going to help the family, but here, too many Christians have made this mistake. It's happened since the beginning of the Christian day school movement. I remember my preacher saying this. Don't send your kids to our Christian school thinking we're going to get your kids right with God when the home is wrong. And the home is tearing them away from God because that's a bigger attraction. You know, so whatever. Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting here. It was a good prayer meeting crowd last Wednesday night. You'll say, oh, King's Kids is done. My work is done. Are you kidding me? Do you think the only ministry you have, I don't want to downgrade. The biggest thing you can do is prayer. Prayer meeting is the backbone of this church. And if we have people give, you know, skipping prayer meeting, it's going to affect everything. Something happens when God's people corporately come together, have an old-time prayer meeting. That's what prayer meeting is. Be faithful to God. Reading your Bible? Got a prayer closet? Be faithful to God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.